Happy Friday. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you in studio. Got Corey Reeves and Chris Swick talking about the tornadoes that happened back, one on 1966, back on this day, and another one that will be, Monday will be the 10-year anniversary of that 2008 tornado. Hopefully we'll get to Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins on. I know I talked to him yesterday. He said he did have some meetings this morning, so I knew he'd be cutting it close. So if not, maybe we can try and get him again Monday. Busy guy, Pat Collins.
Yeah, sure.
So understandable. And looking back on that tornado, I talked to him a little bit on the phone yesterday, and one thing that he mentioned was a big reason as far as 2008 is concerned on why there wasn't anybody injured was because of the job we do here, the TV stations, et cetera, just everybody kind of being on the ball as far as informing people. And with the technology we have now, even back in 2008, we still have a pretty good grasp on when it's coming. And we were warned. I think you have those weather meetings earlier in the morning when they know that things are going to be a little dicey.
So that was the same. We had a phone conference with the National Weather Service earlier in the day. We had a full staff meeting with all of our on-air crew to get ready for that. And, when you plan for stuff like that, you have to plan for worst-case scenario and then hope that it doesn't happen, but be ready for it if it does. And on that day, we really put literally everyone to work. Even our former general manager, Rich Wortel, was out like in his raincoat with a flashlight and his phone doing live reports because he was very familiar with the Miller Ranch area. It was up near his home, so he was doing some storm reports and reporting on, like gas leaks and some of the areas where you couldn't travel. Everyone becomes a reporter in the aftermath of that, so we literally sent everybody out. Now, the flip side of that is we also ask a lot of people not to come to work intentionally that night because we didn't want everyone in the building should something happened to the building. And that's a morbid thing to do, but emergency responders do the same thing. They've got to be ready in shifts and waves, and when it's time to go, it's time to go. And they have a whole lot more line of fire, more important stuff to do than we do. But that's an essential piece of, I think, what Manhattan Broadcasting has historically always done as far as local weather coverage, and we're really committed to it because when something like that happens, we become an essential conduit of information. And we can help get the message out pretty quick and pretty effectively.
And again, back on this day, June 8, 1966, was a destructive tornado, caused $5 million in damage, injured at least 65 people in Manhattan. And Monday, 10 years ago, $20 million in damage to Kansas State University. A little bit of a difference there. Looking at that tornado outbreak from June 3rd to the 11th of 2008, that was a crazy
sequence
of days. Yeah, 192.
In fact, we were even here again that next day with another one.
Yeah,
192 confirmed tornadoes from June 3rd to the 11th of 2008, $146 million in damage. And we do have a phone call. Not Pat, though. Well, we'll take it anyway. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Good morning.
Morning.
June 8th of 66, I was downtown, stopped at the intersection of Anderson and 17th Street. K-Man Radio came on. It was either Lowell Jack or Charlie Howe. Said that there's a tornado west of Manhattan at Keats coming towards Manhattan. Well, I'm not very smart then or now either. I head west, get to the old Farm Bureau building, go down around the curve, get there where the Walgreens is now, starts hailing. I lived in Garden Way at that time. They were brand new in 66. There was a service station where Burnett's is with a great big V canopy. It flew off in front of me. I turned to go down to Garden Way. There was a tree going down. I had to go up over the curb, pulled into the parking lot in my brand new 66 Mustang, scared to death, rolled the window down to look out. Boat went flying through the air. Trash can, the fence at the ground, the swimming pool went down. It went by, and I recovered my thoughts, got out of the car. Every car in that parking lot, the windows had imploded in it, and mine didn't because I had my window down. Anyway, I was in the Kansas National Guard at the time. I called out that night. I was assigned to Perry Road and Jardine Terrace. They were already leaving up there about 7:30. Over there in the Lee Edition, they have new houses over there. Wiped a lot of those out. Met a lot of nice people that moved into Garden Way, stayed there 2-3 months till they getting their houses put back in shape. Taught a lot of their kids to swim, made some lifetime friends. So sometimes bad things cause good things. If you ever want to know more about it, I've got reams of paper about that tornado and newspaper clippings, pictures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. You too. Fantastic story. So I was talking just yesterday with C. Clyde Jones, and he was talking about the tornado, that tornado as well, and it damaged part of his home where he and Midge lived, and he was talking about, you know, the tornado coming through and the damage like half of his house and having to rebuild and things like that. And it is interesting, and the caller makes a fantastic point. Sometimes it's you know, it's a bad thing, but the kind of quick outpouring of community. That happened here 10 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. not only did the communities come together, there were volunteers. I mean, there was like every dude with a truck and a chainsaw from anywhere and everywhere was either here or in Chapman, and they were cleaning up limbs and helping people and moving stuff out. And, you know, there was water started showing up and Gatorade and meals, and, I mean, it was everywhere, and that was actually kind of awesome to see.
Doing a little background research on the 1966 tornado, damage in Manhattan was estimated up to $5 million. Again, 1966 dollars, $5 million, including nearly $2 million in damages to K-State. And now, Dave, I'm not sure if you wanted to get in on some of this, and I'm sure you remember some of these.
Not I don't the, remember not 1966.
One as much. That's not what I'm saying.
No. Well, 10 years ago, I wasn't working here, but I was out of state, actually, but I heard a lot about it, and I got back into town about 3 a.m. and did a quick tour, and what I could see, it was just devastating. But you know, you talk about, you know, the community coming to the assistance of those in need, and this is something that, you know, this year also marks 25 years for the 93 flood.
Yep.
And that's a whole other story. We'll cover that in July.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But that's one of the things that I think that has been a remarkable aspect about this community is how so many people, regardless of how long they've been here, we had guys from K-State. We had part of the football team out here in 93 that were sandbagging the radio station. You know, and it's just like people that wanted to help in whatever way. And you know, and maybe I'm just, you know, the Kansan at heart says, you know, this is what small town Kansas does. They care for their people. And, you know, and we saw that in 2008, just a remarkable time. And obviously, you know, devastating for a lot of folks, but a remarkable time and a remarkable testament about the nature of people in the community.
Yeah. And here's where I will champion local broadcasters and local broadcasting. It's what we do. Serious, it's what we do. You know, it's. I think that proud to have a locally owned and run group of radio stations here, and we take it serious. And you have to, because at times like that, Pat Collins said it, I'll say it too, lives are at stake when things like that happen. You know, and it's easy as a Kansan, as you've sat through a million storms and tornadoes, to kind of slough that stuff off every once in a while and be like, ah, it's not a big deal. It's not until it really is. And it was 10 years ago, and it was a big deal. And it was weird here to be in the studio for that long, because we were here from the night before and all the way overnight. And the next morning, I didn't get to see anything until the next day. And around 2 o'clock the next day, I finally got in a car and go out to drive around. And it was a little bit overwhelming because we were talking about it and hearing the reports, but to actually get out and see it. And you saw families cleaning up what used to be their house, and it just doesn't exist anymore. And that's a weird thing.
Yeah,
that's
I remember
a really weird thing to see.
I remember driving around that night on 2008 when that tornado went through and the storms passed through. It was kind of crazy. It was really surreal because there was still a lot of power out in places. And
Chapman got it again. Chapman got it worse than here, man. Yeah, Chapman got it worse than here. And that was even more crazy to go see. So I'm originally from the Hutchison area, and I remember the Heston tornado. And that was that. I mean, that was just that's. So when stuff like that happens, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. That Heston tornado was just massive, and I remember that vividly.
Yeah, same here, because I'm from McPherson. And man, one of my mom's coworkers at the time had a video from his house, and you could see on this video just how massive that tornado was. It just ripped right through town. You can even see on the video when the Pizza Hut, the old Pizza Hut, went up into the tornado. It was... Wow.
And remember in the Pizza Hut, they had people that were there in the building, mm-hmm. in the freezer.
Right,
hiding out. In the cooler for safety.
So it was weird, Dave. I mean, I'm sure that you saw the same thing when you're out driving around after the tornado happens. Is you know, especially up in the Miller Ranch area, there were homes that were just didn't even exist anymore, and then there were homes that were hundreds of feet away, and it looked like nothing happened. I mean, in tornadoes, it's just it's unbelievable to see when that happens. There's no rhyme or reason, but I can't imagine being one of those families to crawl up out of the basement and not have a house left. But I can't imagine what happens in the community if you don't have local people giving out the warning to try to help, and you don't have first responders out there immediately assisting those folks. And it was pretty awesome to see not only the broadcasters here, but emergency management and the police department, the fire department, the EMTs, and everybody, because it's everyone goes to work.
And again,
we talk about the June 8th tornado here, but it was nothing here like it was in Topeka.
Yeah.
And this is now 52 years from Topeka was catastrophically damaged. And of course, you know, much of that launched the career of a Kansas broadcaster, Charles Curtis. Bill Curtis.
And on that 66 tornado, a few more stats on that. It's estimated that it was 880 yards wide.
Yeah.
When it was going through Topeka, 660 yards wide going through Manhattan.
By today's standards, an EF5. But, you know, there were 18 deaths out of that. And the number of deaths from tornadoes has decreased dramatically. And a lot of it is because the technology and the information that we now have available, as well as the alert systems. And I think people are now trained to know that, you know, hey, if you want to know what's going on with a severe weather situation, you turn to your local radio station that provides that service.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good. I think we covered it.
Yeah, I'm just so I have a love-hate relationship with severe weather and radio. You hate it when the call comes, but I think it's a labor of love to get out there and do it, and I think we do it really well.
And even with all this new technology, radio is still such a great way to get that information out there. So thanks, Corey Reeves. Thanks, Chris Swick, for coming on. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, all our guests this morning. It was a big show for a Friday.
Yeah.
Hope you all enjoyed it. If you missed it, you can go online, on demand, newsradiokman.com. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.
Can't wait to talk about the 93 flood. That's next month, though. That's a whole nother deal. All right, gentlemen, thank you much. Moving up on 10 a.m., CBS News, probably more on the death of CNN's Anthony Bourdain. Sad situation there. Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh with Mark Stein guesting, Dan Patrick, The Game, and the Royals tonight beginning at 8:30.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.bank. KS State Bank.